that his word. Father, we thank you for your word. You said that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will not pass away. And we were made by your word, for you spoke and all creation came into being. In 6 days you made everything that is in the whole universe. We thank you, Father, that the same power that was in your word is still available today for each one of our lives. We ask, O God, that your word will be like a fire. Your word will be like a mighty wind that sweeps through our life and our spirits even this day. We ask, O God, that you would reveal Jesus afresh to us through your word. For he is the living word. And we know, Father, that the words of man cannot express all the fullness of the things of your Spirit. But by your grace and by your Spirit, we pray that you will internalize the revelation of Jesus into each one of our hearts and our minds and our lives. Give us a fresh vision of Jesus, that we may see Jesus for all that he is and all that he can do, and all the worship that is due unto him, may it go unto Jesus. Father, we live for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that is to do your will, to establish your kingdom, and to cause all men everywhere to worship you, to acknowledge that there is only one Lord, one God, and one Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your grace, your mercy. We invite you, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to lead and guide us right now into all truth. Thank you for the power of your Spirit, the power of your blood, and the power of your word. And we proclaim in the name of Jesus, the Lordship of Jesus. We proclaim his lordship over this city. We proclaim his lordship over this nation. We proclaim Jesus as Lord, and that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is indeed the Lord. And let every thought be captured unto Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We yield to you, spirit, soul, and bodies. And we ask, O God, that you glorify Jesus once again in our midst. We give you all the praise, the worship, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, we've been looking at the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. And if you have a Bible with a little map at the back, you may just want to just refresh your memories again and look at the little map at the back of your Bible. And you notice that in the first missionary journey, he takes a very short trip from Antioch. He moved to the island of Cyprus and then over to an area of Pisidia, Lycia, and then he journeys to several places like Antioch, Lystra, Derbe, Iconium. Then he makes his way back to Antioch. And then we saw the previous weeks how in Acts 15 they established doctrinal areas in their life for the next phase of God's work and a new understanding of God's doctrine, a new partnership, and a new trust into that which God has for them. In his second missionary journey, you notice that he travels to the same places he went before in his first missionary journey, but he gets stuck in Troas waiting upon the Lord. And so from Troas, you notice a map that the first city that he launched out to, a new place that he hasn't reached out to, was the city of Philippi. Now let's go over to the book of Acts chapter 16 and trace our steps from there. In the book of Acts chapter 16, he got new people to join him. That is, one of them is Timothy, who was a pastor. and a well-known pastor in Lystra and Iconium, and he got him to join him in his journey. They went over in verse 7. We are in Acts 16, verse 7. When they come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is what the Bible calls the Macedonian vision. You may have heard, sometimes people talk about Paul's Macedonian vision. This is it, in Acts 16. He saw a Macedonian man, and he concluded that while God stopped me from going to Bithynia in the north, to Mysia in the north, he waits in the coastal town of Troas, and in the night time, God gave him this Macedonian vision. And he interpreted the vision to mean that God wants him to go over to Macedonia. And at that time, Philippi was the capital city of Macedonia. So logically, he went over to the city of Philippi, which was the main center of commerce and political areas in the country of Macedonia. There are a few things that we want to look at here in Paul's second missionary journey. In fact, this first thrust of him going forth into Philippi was one of the most significant moves that Paul made of all his missionary journeys. Because this place called Philippi, where he was later to found the Philippian church, was going to be one of the main churches that will be Paul's quote-unquote base for his future missions. He didn't know it yet, but God knew it. And God was preparing him for this place called Philippi. Three things here. Firstly, it began with this Macedonian vision. And he went over based on this Macedonian vision. And when he arrived in Macedonia, he did not find a man. Look very carefully there in verse 12. From there to Philippi, which is a former city of the part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some days. So they landed in a place, staying there for some days, wondering which direction to go. On the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. That's his first witnessing. Verse 13, he had his Macedonian vision where he saw a Macedonian man. Landed in Philippi, after going through the coastal town of Samothrace, he landed in Philippi. Stayed a few days, went out to the riverside on a Sabbath day, and the first people he witnessed to were a group of ladies. And they were there, apparently they were having prayer meetings for some time. We were not told how long the prayer meetings were, but these ladies have been praying and praying and praying and spending time with God, and it has become a custom that every Sabbath day, they would gather there at a riverside and have a little prayer meeting. No building, just by the river. Now, in our first point, looking at this vision, how did a vision of Macedonian man end up as a ministry to little ladies? Point 1A. A vision or dream needs to be interpreted properly. And I believe that probably about 90% of visions and dreams are allegorical. Which means you cannot take them literally. Imagine what Paul would have done if he were a quote-unquote modern Pentecostal. He has this vision of the Macedonian man. He goes over to Philippi and he's looking for someone who looks like that. He's not looking for women. He saw a man, so he's looking for a man. So he's looking up and down, you know, and someone looks like him and says, "Are you the one? You look like him." "No." "Are you the one? You look like him." "No." And he could be going around trying to interpret what this vision meant. He would have failed. Because it was not, have you noticed that? It was an important vision. It was an important vision, but it was not important who the man was. I mean, down the line, he may actually meet a man like that. It was not important who the man was. Because in that vision, there was only one main message. Just go over there to Macedonia and do what you can there. But the vast majority of Pentecostals and charismatics, or people who have visions and dreams, try to interpret every detail and every little part of it, sometimes to their own cancellation of God's direction in their life. They miss the whole point because they were looking at the leaves. They miss the whole direction through the forest that God's trying to lead them to. Every one of us probably from time to time have had, if not a vision, some dreams that are significant in our life, or some sort of direction. Just off the record, just to see, how many of you have some sort of from the time you came to know the Lord, or even before you know the Lord, something significant, you have a dream, or you had a vision, or something that was significant in your life? Just a show of hands here. Okay, thank you. Rest of you never had a vision, never had a dream? Okay. But God does speak through visions and dreams. In fact, when His Holy Spirit comes, sometimes He quickens a lot of that. And the most important thing here, we see that God directing Him in a vision, but His vision was not literally interpreted. In fact, I believe only between 5 to 10% of visions and dreams are literal. Now, I did not say that there will be none that are literal. There will be some that are literal. That is exactly what you see is what happens. But the vast majority of them are allegorical. The message of what God was trying to convey was more important than the details that God was trying to bring forth. So here, Paul was not caught up in trying to interpret the detail of the vision. He felt that he had fulfilled what the vision and that he had meant when he crossed over to Philippi. When he met these ladies in verse 14 and 15, among these ladies are one significant lady called Lydia. She was a businesswoman, a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to hear the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged her, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. And Paul stayed on and continued to minister in a prayer meeting there. So 1A, it was not a literal fulfillment of a vision, because Paul's ministry primarily was with the ladies who were the prayer warriors in that place. 1B, Paul's way has been prepared by this group of ladies. It was a prayer meeting that existed before Paul ever showed up. In fact, if we look at it from God's perspective, possibly this was happening. This group of ladies have been praying and praying and seeking God. Apparently, they were worshippers of God. Probably had some Hebrew background. And they were worshipping God to the best of their knowledge. Their meetings were regular, consistent. And they may have been doing that for